I'm Jim Benson, and you're listening to TV Time Machine on Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and visit our show archives at tvtimemachine.com.
I've spoken at great length with my Christian slave. He has informed me of a large town near to the temple that we raided before. And in this town there are other temples, and surely other riches. Give us back our boat. Let us go there and find out. What do you have to lose? Any plunder we take will be yours to do with as you please.
I could go there myself.
Yes, you could, my lord. But why put yourself in danger? Why not leave it to someone who has more experience of this journey? And someone who is more expendable.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're about to embark on a journey through a vast galaxy that traverses memory, generations, and popular culture. A magical trip through time as we meet the men and women of yesterday and today who have shaped not only what we see on TV, but the way we see ourselves. I'm Jim Benson. Join me, if you will, on an exploration of television's past, present, and future as we climb aboard the TV Time Machine. Our destination subject today will be the History Channel's new historical drama, Vikings. Creator and producer of Vikings, Michael Hurst, will join us for a fascinating excursion examining this extraordinary TV series. We'll begin our exciting and fun-filled odyssey right after these brief messages.
I was born Mary Tyler Moore.
Is Jesse Donald Knotts.
Fred McFeely Rogers.
Leslie Moonves.
Isabel Sanford.
Leslie Renee Stahl.
Robert Edward Turner.
Regis Francis Philbin.
Aaron Spelling.
Since 1999, the Archive of American Television has been preserving the memories, knowledge, and insights of the men and women whose talents and vision have helped shape this remarkable medium. Over 500 video interviews with these TV legends are now available on the Archive of American Television website at metvlegends.org. There, you can sign up to receive news, updates, and also become a sponsor to help preserve television history for generations to come. That's metvlegends.org.
The mythological proportions of Star Trek provide something that's missing in people's consciousness, psyche.
The Archive of American Television, capturing television history, one voice at a time.
Why did you do that? Why did you give everything away so easily?
He was looking for an excuse to kill us. Why would we go to Valhalla after such miserable and pointless deaths? Believe me, this is not the end. It's just a beginning.
Today on the TV Time Machine, we ask you to travel with us into a medieval past as we explore the History Channel's new historical drama, Vikings. In this edition of our program, we are proud to welcome creator and executive producer of Vikings, Michael Hurst. Mr. Hurst's Emmy Award-winning work includes creating and producing The Tudors, the miniseries Camelot, and executive producing The Borgias. Over the next segment, Michael Hurst will help us explore virtually every aspect of this remarkable series, which airs Sundays at 10 p.m. on the History Channel as we delve into the medieval world of adventurously violent Vikings. Again, for those of you intrepid enough to head west, feel free to raid, trade, and pillage as we slip from the restraints of the present and sail off into an undiscovered country of the past. Michael, thank you for coming on board the TV Time Machine.
That's a great pleasure.
Michael, you're the creator and you also write and produce Vikings, which airs Sundays at 10 p.m. on the History Channel. Michael, what was the genesis of Vikings?
When I was a little boy and my father would bring me, every Friday, would bring me a toy soldier back. And one week he brought a Viking and I sort of fell in love with this. With this figure and this image, and then later, when I'd written Elizabeth, I then turned my attention to a movie about Alfred the Great, and Alfred the Great fought against the Vikings, and so I did a lot of research at that point into Viking culture and society and gods and so on, became really fascinated by them. But nothing happened to that movie, so I put all my thoughts and research into my back pocket and waited, hoping that one day someone would come through the door and say, we want to make a show about the Vikings. And that's what happened about 18 months ago. An MGM stepped through and said, do you have any interest in the Vikings at all? I said, you bet. And so it had a long, slow genesis, but it seems to me as well that it's in the zeitgeist. I mean, I just feel that this is the time to do the show, that everyone seems automatically interested in, for whatever reason. I can't guess half the reasons, but when I mentioned that I was writing the Vikings, everyone was curious, interested, and encouraging. So there's something in the air.
Well, aren't they the ultimate anti-heroes?
Well, that was the challenge. That is their image. They're always the other. They're the ones who kind of break down your door in the middle of the night and pillage and rape and murder and for no good reason. And one of the reasons we have that image of them is because their history was written by, not by themselves, they were a non-literate culture, but by hostile witnesses, that is to say Christian monks, so who, you know, went out of their way not only to describe how violent, terrifying Vikings were, but how disgusting was their culture and their paganism. And it's only when you scratch around a bit and you find a few other reports from maybe Arab traders or whatever, what they were really like, and then you realize that in fact you've been sold dud. You know, they were far more interesting than this. That they were far more democratic than other societies. Their treatment of women was much more enlightened than contemporary societies. That they were the most extraordinary boat builders, that their navigational skills were second to none, that they had sailed the Mediterranean, that they discovered America hundreds of years before Columbus. You know, so many things we didn't know. So, and my great passion then was to tell the story from their point of view, to get inside their culture. And because there were so many good things to say, you can't deny that they were violent, that they raided. Of course they did. But it was a violent time, you know. But there was so much more to say, and it's been for me as well as the cast a great journey.
Michael, tell us about the lead character in Vikings, Ragnar, and the actor who plays him, Travis Fimmel.
Well, Ragnar is one of the few great Viking leaders that we do know something about, and not a lot. I mean, we know roughly when he was operating, the dates and so on. And so we know that this was about the time when, of the first great Viking raids, and the Vikings sort of exploded onto the scene and announced themselves with the first raid on Lindisfarne Monastery in the north of England. And Ragnar had two wives, lots of sons. His sons became very famous. And we know how he died as well. So that was the skeleton of my story. I knew that I was going to tell the story, the saga of Ragnar. Of course, I had to tell a story. I had to invent things. That's my job as a writer. But then we had to cast this guy. And one of the amazing things about the historical Ragnar was that he believed he was descended from the god Odin.
Right.
And Odin was not just the god of slain warriors. He was also the god of curiosity. And he'd sacrificed an eye to look into the well of knowledge. So I thought my character should have the same sort of curiosity, should be a man consumed by interest and curiosity about other cultures. So I wanted someone, a lead character, who was very interesting, was quite clever, was thoughtful, was deep, as well as being physical. So you can imagine that that's a tough call today, because most of the lead guys you're offered are pretty,
right.
You know. And they can't lift an axe. You know, we wanted real guys, and I wanted someone who, when you looked into their eyes, you saw stuff going on. You saw depth, you saw stillness, you saw intelligence. And we couldn't find it. you know, I was rejecting everybody and driving people nuts. And then Travis sent in his own, he'd filmed himself at home with the scene, and myself and our first director watched this thing, and he didn't overact. He didn't pretend to be anything, but he just knew he was rooted in this character already, and Travis has got this great ability to be unexpected, and when you think he's going to be scared, he smiles, and when
right.
you think, you know, he's very, very interesting. Of course, he's very physical. He's a farmer, or he comes from farming stock, and so it was just serendipity. It was just one of those wonderful things that I suppose was meant to happen, that we finally, at the last moment, we found our Ragnar. We found our complicated hero.
Well, of course, all of the cast members are spot on, but one of my favorites is Gabriel Byrne. I think he's absolutely perfect. Tell us about Gabriel and the complexity of his character.
Gabriel was, of course, it was wonderful. Nothing really happened until Gabriel came on board. You know, history wanted a name of some sort, a kind of recognized figure, and Gabriel fitted the bill. But for me, Gabriel was great as well because he brought so much extra. He's the sort of actor's actor. All the other actors loved working with him and learned things from him. He's very thoughtful. He's very deep. I discussed his character with him over many hours, and we developed it. We developed a backstory that he'd lost his two sons. That was a huge thing in his life, and then we thought through the ramifications of that. We discussed endlessly how it would affect you, how it affected his marriage, his relationship to Ragnar. Because, of course, in one sense, Ragnar is the son he never had.
Correct.
You know, so his relationship to Ragnar, who is his opponent, is already deep and complex and interesting. So, and he was a joy to work with. We were told initially that we couldn't get him, but I got on the phone to him, and I think I persuaded him that I was doing something very serious here, and since he's Irish, he probably would like to come back to Ireland to shoot it, which he did.
Tell us also about his character. His character is very intriguing because he has a tremendous amount of power, but at the same time, he has an inherent weakness.
Inherent weakness.
In terms of he has an insecurity, and he certainly has self-doubts about his ability to overcome Ragnar, ultimately.
He has doubts about many things, and in, I think, episode 6, you will realize exactly why he has those doubts. And it's quite a, coming from a Viking, I think it's quite a shock. Again, it upturns a cliche about the Vikings. And I'm not going to tell you what we find out.
Right.
But it is true that he has, he's a complex man. He has many issues, but he has one particular deep, deep issue that doesn't come out until a little later. I think it's in episode 6. And then a lot of his personality becomes clear, and you actually feel for him. And that was something else I wanted to happen. I didn't want him to be in any way a sort of stereotypical villain. You know, he comes on initially as if he might be that. But by the end, I think the audience is going to really feel for him. You know, that's important to me. I hope and I think that the ramifications of the success of the show will mean that there'll be an explosion of Viking material out there. And I know there are a couple of new books coming out about the Vikings. And we can all have a heyday, I think, finding out more about them.
Vikings, created and produced by our guest Michael Hurst, airs Sundays at 10 p.m. on the History Channel. Michael, it's been a tremendous pleasure having you aboard the TV Time Machine. Feel free to join us again in the future or in the past.
Stay tuned for our interview with Daphna Zeiman, president of the Cinema Channel, right here on the TV Time Machine. I see.